says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 104 tonight. We're going to be in 104 and 05 and 06, but primarily, I'm just going to talk for a few minutes, if you don't mind, on Psalm 105 and 106. And the reason is Psalm 104 is our main text tonight, and for sure I'm on. Is that correct? Okay, I'm just checking. Before we get into our main text tonight, which is going to be Psalm 104, look at Psalm 105 with me. It's a psalm of praise unto God. But I'm just going to set it up and only give you a few verses so we can get back to our original sermon tonight. But Psalm 105, loved one, it literally traces the history of Israel from Abraham to Moses. And it's almost just simply devotional. It doesn't need really any self-explanation. And I encourage you to read it later on. But let's just look at verse 1 of Psalm 105 tonight, where it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." Now remember that we use that scripture, or I use that scripture, in November at our night of thanks every year for all these years. So that's a wonderful verse. It says, "Sing to him, sing songs to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name, and let the hearts of those who rejoice," look carefully now, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. What a great way to start out the morning. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, it said, Jesus told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The things meaning the things that we need in life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, it talks about that, you know, it's impossible to please God without faith, for he who comes to him, in other words, seeking him, who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then it says, look at it, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. I'm so glad tonight that, like Paul says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Amen? Be strong in the Lord and in his might, not our own strength. So this verse here, verses 1 through 4, I mean, man, you can start out your morning. First of all, you start out with praise. It's almost like the Lord's Prayer in a way. Our Father, which art in heaven, what does it say to do? Hallowed be the names of God, worshiping all that he is, being thankful that he is our shepherd, our provider, our righteousness, our peace. Amen? And then it goes from praise to prayer. Boy, every morning the throne of grace is the greatest place that you can go to. And then from praise to prayer, and then it says to tell others, or literally to proclaim, be the ambassadors that we are. Tell others about Jesus Christ and all of his wonderful works. In Psalm 106 now, this in a way just simply rehearses the same history from Psalm 105. But listen carefully. When you study this out later, Psalm 105 speaks of the incredible, wonderful faithfulness of God. Psalm 106 speaks about the unfaithfulness of God's people. So when you read that tonight, that's a wonderful, wonderful text or way to look at it. But let's look at Psalm 106, verse 1, before we get into our text. It says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Amen to that. "And his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of God?" Isn't that a great question? Who can do those things? There's only one people that can do that, and those are those who are born again, born from above. Amen? And that's what we do tonight. It says, "And blessed are those who keep justice and who does righteousness at all times." And the church says, amen. Now let's go to Psalm 104. This is a great psalm. And it's a psalm that we need to take our time to meditate on and to learn. And it's one that we should turn to often, because Psalm 104 is a wonderful psalm concerning creation. We call it actually a creation psalm. When was the last time? I want you to turn me up just a little bit, or maybe it's my ears, but there's something, I'm floating around just a little bit. I'm so sorry. I think that's getting better now. There it is. Yeah, it's called balance. You know what I'm saying? Now, and I'm not, Luis, that's a perfect job. I'm not saying you're not balanced or whatever. I have to cover everything I say and do. It's a hard life if you're a pastor. No, Psalm 104, loved one. It is a great psalm. Now, listen carefully. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you simply just praised God for his creation? Do you ever think about that? Oh, listen, this psalm is so good. So tonight we're going to talk about literally enjoying God's creation. You know, we don't today, unfortunately, now some of you may, but we don't live as close to nature, let's say, as the ancients did, or even our families 100 years ago. Amen? Now, maybe some of you do. You know, we used to sit on the front porch. Now we put bars on our doors. You know, now we all sit in the backyard. We won't let our kids go out in the front yard to play because we don't know who's going to come by and try to kidnap them. Do you understand? So it was different back then, and you could enjoy nature, especially when there was no air conditioning in your homes. None of you don't remember that. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah. No, listen. You know, the psalmist here, they enjoyed God's creation. They enjoyed nature. They observed, as you'll be able to see, they observed the way of the animals and the birds, the rivers, the sunrises, the sunsets, and all of that. They worshiped the Creator. They did not worship creation. Amen? Now, with all that being said, we live in a time today when mankind, as a general rule of thumb, they don't really enjoy nature or God's creation, but they're doing a very good job of destroying it. Do you understand? Let me give you, I just read this last week on BBC. It's one of my favorite newspapers to go through to, and listen to this report from BBC. Here it is. There is so much concrete in the world today that soon it will outweigh all living matter, including us. Can you believe that? I mean, that is that a lot of concrete? Think about that for a moment. Everything that in this psalm, of course, we know that everything that exists is not only created by God, but sustained by God. So Psalm 104 is a psalm, in a way, of dependence, because everything that God has created is dependent upon him. Amen? So with the verse 1, let's begin this great psalm. And the psalmist starts out and he says, "Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty." So he starts out with an exhortation, if you will, to himself. He says, man, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to bless his name. And because God is great, may I tell you that God is very great? Amen. The psalmist has said in Psalm 145:3, his greatness is unsearchable. He says in verse 2, it says, "O God, who you cover yourself with light as a garment," or as with a garment, "who stretch out the heavens like a curtain." That's a great verse. You know, if I could bring it into just everyday language, it's like the psalmist is saying that God wears light as if, just like a person wears clothing. Isn't that amazing? And the reason that is because 1 John 1:5 says that God is what? God is light. God is love. God is light. Man, listen, and there's no darkness in him at all. So our Father in heaven, loved one, he's not like our Father of many lights. No, no, he is himself uncreated light, because God is light. God is light eternal. That's also one of my favorite songs. And not only that, remember what we learned, that God manifests himself in a person, his son called Jesus Christ. That Christ made the invisible God visible. Jesus said, "If you have seen me," in John 14:9, "you have seen the Father." You know what's interesting about light is only light can drive away darkness. Amen? This room, the chapel, was dark, and the lights come on, and the darkness has to flee. So it's just so wonderful to know that it says in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him, with God, and we walk in darkness, it says we lie and we do not practice the truth. So you can't be in fellowship with darkness and God our Father at the same time. Amen? It just doesn't mix, loved one. And light and darkness cannot exist in the same place, okay? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship or intimacy one with another, meaning God and the believer. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for that. Now listen, the place, the only place of intimacy with God the Father is in the light. It's never in the darkness. Amen? Boy, Jesus told us, he said, oh, listen, about walking in the light. You want to experience intimacy with God? Jesus said this, and you don't have to walk in darkness. John 8, 12, he said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now look at verse 2. Who covers yourself with light as a garment. Now watch this. And you stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Would you say that's power? Amen. On the first day of creation, remember what God said? God said, let there be light, and light was. On the second day of creation, he stretched out the heavens like a tent, if you will. I think if we truly believe that, then God can handle any problem that we may be facing. Amen. It says, he lays the beam of his upper chambers in the waters. That's a picture that the psalmist is painting, and that God builds his home above the waters, if you will. He says, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. That word there, the Hebrew word, which means breeze, okay, or breath. Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers as servants, as a flame of fire. Now listen carefully. The word wind and the word spirit there is the same word. It means breath. It means that breeze, if you will. So God's special messengers, they're angels. And remember, if you study out Scripture, you know the angels, they sang at creation. The angels there, they visited Abraham. Remember, Abraham cooked them dinner. When Sarai cast out Hagar, you know, and so forth, and said, you leave the house. Well, it was an angel that helped Hagar and the lad. And it was also angels that closed the mouth of the lions there in Daniel's den. It was angels who released Peter from prison. And angels who helped Jesus there in his temptation scene and in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, and I think it's Mark's gospel, that remember when the stone was rolled away? It said that a young angel, like a teen angel, that was a song one day, if y'all remember that. No, never mind, you don't. But in the 50s, you know, teen angel, never mind. I don't know why. Wednesdays I just get weirder and weirder, you know. But there was a teen angel. The word young angel there in Greek literally means it like a teen angel was sitting on the stone. So angels are all through the Bible. You know, and when we read verse 4, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire, do you know that verse 4 is quoted in Hebrews 1:7? And it's talking about the angels who not only worship Jesus, but they also serve him. Did you know that tonight there are angels? Absolutely, surely, they're here with us. Isn't that amazing? And do you know that they are in awe of the believer? They are in awe of the body of Christ. It says in Ephesians 3:10, it says this, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, and listen to whom? To the principalities and to the powers in the heavenly places. That means this, that the angels of God, no doubt the bad angels, but we're talking about good angels, okay? They're watching us. They're observing you. They're in awe of the church of the living God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 2, it says that things, our salvation, it says, are things which angels desire to look into. That word looking to means to stoop down. In other words, they get as close to it as they can. Why? Because they're amazed. They're amazed at the church. They stand amazed that the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. They stand amazed. They stand amazed when they as they watched. They didn't know what was going on. When they watched the Son of the Living God be born of a virgin and put in a feed trough. Do you think that blew them away? Man, it blew them away, loved one. And then I know in disbelief, when the angels of God saw Jesus, the Son of the Living God, who is God, when they beat him, when they scourged him, when they nailed Jesus to the cross. Oh, loved one, listen. The angels, they were completely staggered. You know, angels who have spent their entire presence there in heaven with God. They know the Lord. They have seen God as the Spirit. They know all of these things, their entire existence. And then they look at us, and they are blown away. They are literally staggered, and they're amazed at what they see in the church. Don't ever have a low view of the church of the living God. Amen? Because the church of the living God is not stones and not a building. It's us. Now, the church, we're God's greatest masterpiece. We're his living artwork, if you will. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister or to serve those, meaning the people of God, not lost people? It says, who will inherit salvation. You know, I know that we have guardian angels. I'm not saying that I truly understand all of that. It seems somehow that they are here to serve us, and they're here to protect us, even though Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I'll never relax my hold upon you. Somehow angels work around us. And so, like I said, I'm not for sure about that. All of it, but I know that angels, did they go and rescue Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah and Peter from prison, like I said earlier? All those things. Listen, and at the end of the age, at the second coming, angels are going to be sent together, God's elect. You know, there's an interesting scripture in Hebrews 13:2. It says this, do not forget to entertain strangers, or literally, don't forget to show hospitality. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I don't know that I've ever had an angel come to my house. You know what I'm saying? But I'm sure there's one at your house and my house right now, or however that works. Now look at verse 5 as we really get into our study tonight. Watch this. It's talking about God's creation. It says, and you laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment, and the waters stood above the mountains. Now, we're talking about creation here. We're not talking about the days of Noah, okay? It's important that we see that. He says, at your rebuke, they fled, meaning the waters. It says, and the voice of your thunder, they hastened away, and they went up over the mountains, and they went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. Now, verse 9 is very important. And you have set a boundary, meaning a boundary for the waters, that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. On the third day of creation, it says in Genesis 9:1, and then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. Isn't that amazing? I mean, creation obeys God instantly. Does mankind do that? No. And sometimes even the children of God, they're disobedient. It says in verse 10, he sends the springs into the valleys, and they flow among the hills, and they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys, they quench their thirst. And by them, or literally besides them, the birds of the heaven have their home. And they sing among the branches, and he waters the hills from his upper chambers, and the earth is what? the earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. Listen, God's creation, everything that God creates, it says right here, was satisfied. You know, God quenches the thirst of his creation, the animals, the beasts, the birds, whatever he's created, God satisfies all of it. But I want you to look at mankind tonight, not nature, what God created, but just man. Are they satisfied? No, they're not satisfied. They're not satisfied at all. The majority of the world is unsatisfied. And they run all over the world, all over God's creation. They're looking for peace. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for security. They're looking for relief. They're looking for answers. And there's only one answer, and he is Jesus Christ. Amen? How sad our world is. Listen, maybe let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied tonight? Are you thirsty? Remember what Jesus said in John 7:37? He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now we know that he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen? Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit is real. He is here. He is in us. He's upon us. He empowers us. He leads us. He guides us. And he also loves us. Romans 15:30. The Holy Spirit loves us. Think about that. Listen, Jesus offers anyone who believes in him an ever-flowing, abundant, satisfying inner life. Thank God for that. You know, the psalmist has said in Psalm 107:9, he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now look at verse 14. It says, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, or for man to work on the earth and cultivate it. It says that he may bring forth food from the earth. Now watch this. And wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens his heart. You know, we live in a culture today, in a generation, there's just every day, there's the endless talk about diet. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody know what I'm saying? Man, I mean, there's like a new diet every day. Just give me some food. Give me some fried chicken. Give me some gravy. You know? Never mind. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, why is it that we work so hard to stay here instead of just saying, I'm going to eat what I want, then I'm going there? What, we work so hard to stay on this planet, you know, and but we talk about our home in heaven, but I don't want to go just yet. Think about that. And, we, you know, and some of you are like, and I'm not being critical, because, I mean, I used to be a health nut. I would not eat, I mean, well, you can, I mean, tons of vitamins. Of course, look at me. They worked, didn't they? And there's nothing wrong with being health conscious and all of those things. But have you ever just thought about our Father's diet? Look at what it is. Wine, oil, bread. Now that is a diet, brother. Listen. Well, no, wait a minute. What does wine do? What does it say wine does? It makes the heart glad. We're not talking about getting wasted. You know, we're talking about that. It makes the heart glad. Look what oil does. What does it do? It makes your face to shine. Remember how Moses' face shined before the Lord when he fellowshipped with him? It makes a shining face. And what does bread do? It says it strengthens our heart. Now, if you're going to be a good student of the Bible, wine and oil in the Word of God are symbols of what? The Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, remember whenever in Acts chapter 2, verse 13, you know, the Holy Spirit was poured out, everybody started speaking in other tongues and so forth, and remember how others, they were mocking, and they said, oh, these guys are filled with new wine. And Peter said, it can't be new wine, it's just 9 a.m. in the morning. Nobody gets drunk, you know, at 9, you know what I mean? No. So we know they're talking about the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but here comes the command, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Filled with the Holy Spirit. So wine and oil, a picture of the Holy Spirit. How about in James 5, 14 and 15? It says that we are to anoint with oil. Oil, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And bread is a picture of what? The Word of God, amen? Yeah, the Word of God. Listen, if you want a healthy lifestyle, I mean, if you really want to live healthy, gorge yourself on the Word of God. I mean, you will gain weight in your spirit like you cannot imagine, amen? And that's what God wants you to do. What did Jesus tell us that in Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What a great diet. Look at verse 16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he, meaning God, he planted, where the birds make their nest. He says the stork has her home in the fir trees, and the high hills are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. See, God takes care of creation, doesn't he? He provides a refuge for the birds, the goats, and the badgers, and all the rest of it. If he provides for them, he's going to provide for you. You know, let me ask you a question. You know, do you ever marvel at what God has created? You know, in the summertime, you know, like right now in the early spring, I don't know if you know this, it was 71 degrees this morning. This is Texas. This is July. We should be like hating the heat already. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, this is just unbelievable. So in the summer, especially in the spring, I go outside for my quiet time. Does that make sense? And I have my lawn chair and I'm just sitting there and it's like the light start, the skies are getting lighter and everything. And you know, there's this one area that where I put where my chair is, and I'm facing the east because the sun is coming up. And in the summertime, like right now, there's always spiders. You know what I'm saying? And like, okay, here's a post and here's my chair and then there's my bush. It's like 12 or 13 feet. Does that make sense? Why? And I go, now how? How did that spider put a web starting here all the way over to those bushes? And it's like, I run into it, you know, and he's there. I mean, and they're all like, do you like spiders? No, but God made them. But I sit there and the sun's coming up, so the gossamer threads, you know, of the spider, the sun starts hitting it. And sometimes I just blow on that thing, you know, let him back and forth. I'm thinking, maybe he's going to wrap it all up and get out of here, you know. So I have my quiet time there and so forth. But when I looked at that spider this morning, I just started watching him. And I said, you know, you live in that bush. I've never even introduced myself to you, you know. And I mean, I don't mind you living at my house, but I don't want webs all the time. Do you know how he got that web 12 feet away? Does anybody know? Do you know what they do? They turn their abdomen, but their body, and here they are, say, on my post. There's 12 feet, there's the bush. And they shoot out a string, whatever that is. And the wind catches it. And it goes all the way over, and they start their network. Don't you ever enjoy God's creation? I mean, I marvel at that. And I don't tear them down like I used to. I mean, now I understand, they really work. It's terrible to do that, you know? Now, so when I looked at that spider this morning, talking about God's creation, I said, Lord, how many species of spiders are there? And the Lord said, So like any good student, what did I do? You got it. Now, here's the deal. This is God's creation we're talking about tonight. So incredible. I mean, so I don't know why I just picked the spider, but I did. Did you know that in Texas, just in Texas alone, there are over 900 species of spiders in Texas alone? Just Texas. And do you know where the majority of those species live in Texas? No, do you know where, just really, they really do live in a specific location in this big state that we call Texas. Do you know where they hang out? No, this is the Holy Land. No. Dallas? No, that's I don't even know where that's at. No. You ready for this? This is the truth. Austin, Texas. Oh, yeah. You want to go down there canoeing in that New Braunfels River, the Frio? Go right ahead. Now, so I said, listen, but out of all of those spiders in Texas, now I want you to listen now. We're talking about God's creation tonight. Out of all those incredible spiders, did you know in Texas there are only two that are considered poisonous to humans? You ready? Only two. The black widow and the brown recluse. Good. Now, you ready for this one? I'm talking about God's creation. The black widow, their bite. You follow me? Here it is. 15 times stronger than a rattlesnake. Oh, yeah. That got me too. Brown recluse, their bite, is considered, it says, the most toxic of all bites of house spiders in America. Don't you hate spiders? Listen, to here's a spider fact, okay? Some male spiders just want to be eaten alive. Now you know why they call the black widow, widow. She's the one who kills them. Can you imagine? Hello, honey. You know, not only that, here's another fact. Are you ready for this one? Spider fact. Do you know that for its weight, a spider web of silk is stronger and tougher than steel? Do you see God's creation? You know why we don't marvel at God's creation? Because we stay indoors all the time. We get insecticides. We kill every bug on our property. You know, we call True Green, kill it all, kill it all. You understand? No, listen, I mean, we don't, even if we see a little bug, it's like, get away, you know. I mean, there was worms coming underneath the door there in the main lobby. I didn't have any mercy on them. No. Here's another fact. This one's going to blow you away. How many spiders, we're talking about God's creation, in case you're not thinking you're getting the Word of God tonight. How many spiders are there in the average home? I'm not going to tell you. I'll stop right there, but I will tell you this. Something that you don't see anymore, and I didn't really want to talk to you about the great orange-backed tarantula. Very few people have seen the orange-backed tarantula. They are bigger than a saucer. Their legs are like that long. And on their back, you know the hump? It's either bright orange or bright red. Listen, I saw one on the farm when I was a five-year-old boy. I have never forgotten that because it was coming at me. They're huge. You ever seen that movie Home Alone when the spider was on that guy's face and he screamed? That was me. But I'm not going to tell you about those tarantulas because that DDT or whatever they sprayed nearly killed everything out on the farms anyway. But to see one of those huge is unbelievable. But listen to me now. See, God's creation is unbelievable. When you see the hummingbirds or you don't really see the bumblebees anymore. Do you see them? Remember the bumblebees? Have you ever walked out where God's creation on the ground and you just all of a sudden you felt something rumbling underneath your feet and it was full of bumblebees? Think about that. I remember as a little boy fishing on the banks right there at Keller, right, you know, the river area, the Bear Creek ran right through my grandparents' property. And I'd go fishing, and in the summer, you know what the water moccasins, what they do? They get out on the bank and they sun. Does that make sense? They like that. I'll never forget that day. I was out there fishing with my other 5-6-year-old buddies. We were really, you know, hunters. We were fishing, and I stepped on a water moccasin that was sunning. He wrapped himself around my leg. I fell into Bear Creek, and I thought, and as I was coming up out of the water, you know the roots on the bank? The roots, the tree roots, they were sticking me everywhere. I thought he had bitten me 150 times. I came out late on, and I told my friend, I'm dying. All right, now, look at verse 19, talking about all that God has done in creation. Look what else he's done. He appointed the moon for what purpose? For seasons. And the sun knows its going down. It literally could read, the sun knows its exact time to go down. What wisdom. Now listen to me. The wisdom of God. He put all of mankind on a schedule. The seasons. Summer. What would it be like if we didn't have seasons? Can you imagine just living in summer forever? Oh, would that be horrible? Don't you enjoy the seasons when we have the change? You know, when we feel the first there in August towards September, and then all of a sudden you feel that first blast of cold air, and you know, you just feel it. You can even smell it if you know anything about Texas. And boy, you go, oh, it's not going to be long, and we're going to have a sweater on or sweatshirt. You know, there's something exciting about that. So God created the summer, the winter, the fall, the spring, all of those things. But it was for the seasons. I love when there is a season that's coming to this earth. I don't know how far it is away, but the sun and the moon will speak judgment to this earth, loved one. The Bible tells us that the fourth trumpet judgment in Revelation 8:12, it says the fourth angel sounded and a third of the sun, think about this, was struck. A third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were darkened and a third did not shine, and likewise the night. There is a season that is coming. Boy, and where all the laws of God start falling apart. It says in Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So you have the 7-year tribulation period. So immediately after the tribulation period, it says the sun will be darkened. No more light from the sun. It says, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. What a season that's going to be. Amos 5:20 says, is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? Luke's gospel says in Luke 21:25, you ready for this one? About the seasons. It says, and there will be signs in the sun. There's signs coming in the heavenlies. There's something coming in the heavenlies even now. It says there's going to be signs in the suns and signs in the moon and the stars and the earth. Oh, the distress of the nations, plural, with perplexity. In other words, at wit's end, not knowing what to do. And the sea and the waves, they're roaring. And here it comes, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That's not a local event, loved one. That is a worldwide global event. And that is the second coming. And the second coming of Christ begins with supernatural signs in the heavens. Boy, the seasons that God has put in store. Men's heart failing them for fear, meaning literally dying from fright. And why? Because the universe that we think is so tight is literally falling apart. And the reason it's falling apart is because one day Jesus, as we've already learned, the creator, the sustainer of all things, by whom all things consist or held together, he's going to start relaxing his hold. Oh, I'll tell you, there is a shaking coming. Aren't you glad that we belong to an unshakable kingdom? That means we should be an unshakable people. Amen. And I look at that and say, oh, Lord, that's one day future. Those are the signs of a season that one day will happen on this planet. In verse 20, it says, oh, you make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest, they creep about, and the young lions, they roar after their prey. They seek their food from God. And when the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and his labor until evening. Do you look at work as a blessing or a burden? It is a blessing if you work for Jesus. Amen. I mean, we can all get tired and burn out and, you know, and so forth. But you know what? Working for the Lord is a great, great privilege. He says, and look at verse 24. This is so good. He says, "Oh Lord, how manifold are your works." You see what he's doing? He's enjoying God's creation. He's praising God for his creation. He's been watching the animals and watching the birds and all the things that are going on. There's something about all of that. You know, this morning when I was in my quiet time and it was just getting light, and man, I saw birds. Some of the birds, they fly so high. I don't even know what they are, and they're so fast. And then the other day, you know, Becky says she was out there, and when she went out, when I'm out there, there's just the kind birds are out there, okay? They love me. But when she went out, I mean, they were all those hawks, you know, and those raptors. Oh, man, I mean, it's like, man, are they scoping you out to eat you or something? I don't know. But there's so many birds and all the things that there. We should enjoy it. Amen? Enjoy it. When is the last time you just got outside? You know what I did one time? This was, and don't ask me what spaceship it was. You know, I don't know what one. It was the one that went by us. Challenger or whoever it was. So it was coming, going to fly over Texas. And I will never forget that night. I said, honey, let's go outside because they're going to, the Challenger or whatever it was called, whichever one it was. Does anybody know? Okay, I didn't think so. So I could call it anything, right? Doesn't really matter. But it was going to fly, and then it was going to turn and go to Florida, okay, and land because they had to go a different route or something. I can't remember why. And so Beck said, there's no way. We're not. I said, come on. And we didn't even get to go outside. I just opened the windows in the bedroom, and when I did, there it was. Loved one, I mean, it was incredible. It lit up the night. I mean, everything was, and it was like a fire, but we could see the whatever that spaceship's name was, we could see it perfectly. And then in less than a minute, it was at Florida. Think about that. You see, we miss so much by never going out. Do you understand? Never just looking at nature. Never just saying, let me look at God's creation. Let me look at that tree. Look at the tree bark, how different it is from this tree bark and the leaves, all the things that God has done. It's amazing to see the butterflies. You know, it's amazing to me. Enjoying it, that's what he's saying is, oh Lord, how manifold are your works. Speaking of creation, watch this. In wisdom, you've made them all. And he says, oh, the earth is full of your possessions. And I'm going to tell you something. Without God's possessions, we would not exist. Amen? We need air. We need water. We need food and all those things that God has created. So the psalmist, he's looking out there, the birds and all the rest, and he just breaks out in worship of God. Why? Because creation reveals the wisdom of God. Creation reveals the power of God. Creation reveals the glory of God. Amen. Oh, how we need to be good students of that. You know, and I pray that you have been overwhelmed with creation. And you look out there, I've heard people say, when I saw the Death Valley, not Death Valley, the Grand, what's it called, the Big Canyon? The Grand Canyon. The Big Canyon. Sound like a Western, doesn't it? You know? No, man, it's like, wow, look at that. You know, it's like there is a God. Yes, there is. And his creation is unbelievable. He says, oh, this great and wide sea, which are in many teeming things, innumerable teeming things, living things, small and great. And there the ships go about. That's a scripture we used for relaunch. Remember from the King James? There go the ships. All hands on board, relaunch. Time to come home if you're listening live tonight. Time to get back. It's time. We have a lot of work to do. Amen? He says, and watch this one. There is Leviathan. Now that Leviathan is some, who knows what it is. It's some huge, unknown, like sea monster. It's gigantic, okay? He says, there is Leviathan, which you have made to play there. Isn't God's word unique? In other words, play there in the ocean. There's another translation that says, and God, you made the Leviathan. He's like your pet. You play with him. I don't know. He says, these all wait for you, or literally Everything that you've created depend upon you. Isn't it sad when man doesn't depend upon God who created them? How much he loves us. He says, oh, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in, and you open your hand, and they are filled with what? Good. You know why? Because all that God does is good. He doeth good continually. There's not one second that God is not doing good to us, loved one. And so he says, God gives and we gather. He says, God provides and we take. He opens his hand and he fills us with good, good things, loved one. He says, oh, you hide your face and they're troubled. You take away their breath, they die. They return to the dust. In other words, the dust they're made of. You send forth your spirit or your life-giving breath. They are created and you renew the face of the earth. That's generation after generation, he does that. You know, life is in the hands of God. Amen? And I'll tell you something. God can renew our lives tonight. He wants to do that always. What did Jesus tell us in John 10:10? He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He says, may the glory of the Lord, O endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in the hills, in his works, I'm sorry. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills, they smoke. He says, but I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I'll be glad in the Lord, and may sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked no more. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. And what does praise the Lord mean? Hallelujah, remember? It means hallelujah. Hey, listen, that's a great psalm, loved one. I enjoy not only teaching it, I just enjoy it. I say, oh, Lord, yes, I want to sing. I want to sing praises to you while I have me. Amen? While we're alive, we want to sing praises unto the Lord. It says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, or literally my rock and my redeemer. Now, tomorrow or tonight, when you go out, and you on your drive home, if the moon is out, you know what you need to do? Enjoy God's creation. Amen? If the sun is going to be setting and it's still light outside, you know what? You see that sunset, say, I'm going to enjoy God's creation. In the morning, if you get up early enough and you don't sleep till 10 o'clock, and you see the sunrise, get out there and enjoy it. Amen? Walk out on your porch or walk out on your back porch and look at creation. Say, God, I praise you. And I'm going to enjoy because you made it for me to see and enjoy. Amen? Everything in this world is dependent upon God. Let us be dependent upon him too, in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you tonight. I thank you for this psalm, Lord. It brought joy to my heart. And I pray it brings joy to all the people tonight in their heart. And Lord God, thank you for creation. Thank you for the birds and for the rivers and the sounds of the rivers running over the boulders and how thunder sounds and lightning and rain when it pours down, Lord, and when the cool breeze passes over us. Thank you. Thank you for the birds and the bees and all the things that you've done, the flowers, the aroma. Oh God. We rejoice and we enjoy your creation and we love you tonight. We give you praise tonight. And I pray over these people, Lord, your people. I pray that every need is met, every heart is healed, every mental faculty is functioning normal without loneliness or bitterness. Oh God, just pour out a new, fresh abundance of your spirit upon us. Touch us. Oh, let there be a oneness and a newness. Oh, Lord, restore unto us tonight the joy of our salvation. Create in us, oh God, if we need it, a clean heart, oh God. And Lord, just we give you praise. We love you so much. We're so thankful. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church of God says, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Let's thank the Lord tonight one more time, shall we? Amen. We're going to close with a song. Let's stand to our feet. Jesse's going to take us home. And if you need prayer when the song is over, there'll be people down here to pray with you, whatever the need might be. The Lord bless you. Walk in His strength this week. Amen. Walk in His strength. And listen, not only let the joy of the Lord be your strength, please enjoy what God has made in Jesus' name. Amen.